Welcome to the lesson. Today we're building a dark, old-school jungle-style pad from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and we're aiming for that smoky, rag-inflected DNB energy where the pad sits under the breakbeats, under the bass, and still makes the whole track feel like a real record. This is a super beginner-friendly lesson, but the result can sound proper serious if you shape it right. The key idea is simple. In jungle and old-school drum and bass, the pad is not the star of the show, but it is absolutely part of the vibe. It gives you atmosphere, tension, emotion, and that haunted rave in the rain feeling without getting in the way of the drums and sub. Let's set up the project first. Open a new Ableton Live 12 set and set the tempo around 170 BPM. That's a really solid starting point for old school jungle. Then create three tracks, one for drums, one for bass, and one for the pad we're building now. Keep the pad track clearly labeled and maybe a different color too, because in fast genres like DNB, staying organized saves you time and brain power. On the pad track, load up a stock instrument. Waveatable is a great choice here, because it gives you a lot of movement without needing deep sound design knowledge. Analog also works well if you want a simpler, warmer vibe. For beginners, I'd say start with Waveatable and keep it basic. If you're using Waveatable, start from an init patch or something very plain. Don't worry about making it fancy yet. Set the voices somewhere around 4 to 8. Keep unison and attune subtle and leave glide off for now. We're building the foundation first. Now let's write the harmony. For this style, a minor key is your best friend. D minor, F minor, and a minor all work beautifully for darker jungle and ragga DNB. Make a 4-bar MIDI clip and start with a simple chord progression. A classic beginner-friendly one would be D minor, BB major, C minor, and back to D minor. If that feels like too much right away, just hold one minor chord for the whole 4 bars. Seriously, that can already work if the sound design and movement are strong enough. Try using chord shapes like minor 7THS or minor 9THS, because they sound richer and more cinematic than plain triads. For example, D minor 7 is D, F, A, C, D minor 9 adds the E as well, which gives it a little extra emotional depth. Keep the notes in the mid-range, roughly between C3 and C5. That's important. If you go too low, you'll fight the sub. If you go too high, you'll start competing with hi-hats, rides, vocal chops, and the upper energy of the break. Now let's make the synth actually sound like a pad. Choose a basic waveform. A saw wave is great for a fuller, classic jungle tone. Triangle is softer and warmer. If you want a little edge, blend saw and pulse. Then shape the amp envelope so it feels like a pad and not a pluck. Give it a moderate attack, maybe 40 to 120 milliseconds. A longer decay, high sustain, and a release of maybe 2 to 5 seconds. You want the notes to breathe and smear into each other a little bit. If you're in Waveatable, detune the oscillators just a little. Keep unison fairly low, around 2 to 4 voices. We want width and richness, but not a massive super saw that takes over the whole mix. Then bring in a low-pass filter and close it down so the sound stays dark. A cutoff somewhere in the 500Hz to 2.5 kHz range is a good starting point, but trust your ears more than the numbers. If you're using analog instead, the same idea applies. Use two saw oscillators, detune one slightly, and close down the low-pass filter until the sound feels warm, rounded, and a little mysterious. At this point, a little saturator can help. Keep it subtle, maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive, and turn on soft clip if it feels good. That gives the pad a worn, vintage character that fits jungle really well. You're not trying to make it distorted. You're just trying to make it feel a little less digital and a little more lived in. Next, we add movement. This is where a lot of beginners either do too little or way too much. The goal is subtle motion. In jungle, a static pad can feel flat, but an over-wobbly pad can become distracting and annoying very fast. So keep the modulation gentle. In Waveatable, assign an LFO to the filter cutoff. You can also lightly modulate Waveatable position if that gives the sound more life. Sync the LFO to something slow like half notes or one bar, and keep the modulation depth low. You should feel the movement more than hear it, obviously. If you want more motion, try an auto pan after the synth. Keep the amount low, maybe 10 to 25%, and set the phase to 180 degrees for stereo movement. A slow rate like half note or one bar works well. Chorus ensemble can also add width, but use it sparingly. A tiny amount goes a long way. Now let's deal with the low end, because this is where the mix starts becoming real. Pads in DNB must not clog up the bass zone. That's one of the biggest rules. Add EQ8 after the synth and high pass the pad somewhere around 120, to 250 Hz. For a safe beginner setting, try around 180 Hz. If the sound feels muddy, make a gentle cut around 250 to 500 Hz. If it gets a little scratchy or harsh, tame a bit around 2 to 5 kHz. Remember, the pad should support the track, not fight it. In drum and bass, the brake already fills up a lot of mid-range space, so the pad has to be controlled. If there's a bassline already in the track, loop them together and listen in context. The pad should sit behind the bass, not smear into it. You can also use utility if needed. If the pad feels too wide or messy, reduce the width a little. Keep the low end out of the pad entirely. Even if the sound feels cool and solo, always check it against the drums and bass. That's where the truth is. Now we bring in the space, and this is where the ragga and dub character really starts to show up. Add echo and reverb after your EQ. For echo, try a sync delay time like quarter notes or dotted eighths. Keep feedback moderate, somewhere around 15 to 35%, and darken the repeats so they sit behind the main sound. Set the dry slash wet fairly low, around 8 to 20%. For reverb, start with a decay somewhere between 2.5 and 6 seconds, a little pre-delay, and a low cut so the reverb doesn't muddy the bottom end. Keep the mix modest. Around 10 to 25% is a good range. The important thing here is that the space feels deep and smoky, not shiny and washed out. If you want that classic dubby jungle vibe, automate the echo feedback up briefly at the end of a phrase, then pull it back down. That little throw can make the pad feel way more alive. You can also send the pad to a return track with reverb if you want more control. That way, the original pad can stay relatively dry while the send gives you a bigger atmosphere whenever you want it. Now let's add some ragga texture. This is where the lesson really connects to the genre. In jungle and ragga D&B, atmosphere often comes from vocal chops, chants, sampled phrases or little texture hits. You do not need a full vocal lead. Even a tiny layer can make the whole pad feel more authentic. Try adding a second layer with a short vocal chop, a percussive ragga phrase, or even a sampled atmospheric hit. If it's an audio sample, drop it into simpler. Then high-pass it and filter it so it doesn't compete with the main pad. Keep it quiet. You should feel it more than notice it directly. A really nice beginner trick is to resample the pad once it sounds good. Record a long tail, bounce it to audio, then reverse a small section and layer that very quietly underneath. That gives you extra atmosphere without needing complicated programming. It also makes the sound feel more committed and more like part of a real arrangement. Now think like an arranger instead of just a loop maker. A pad is not just a sound, it's a structure tool. In a 16-bar jungle section, you might start with the pad filtered and distant for the first 4 bars, then introduce a vocal texture or ragga layer in bars 5 to 8, then open the filter a bit in bars 9 to 12 as the bass tease comes in, and then swell the delay or reverb before the drop or switch up. That kind of movement is classic D&B phrasing. Tension, release, and payoff. Even if you only change one note or switch to a new inversion right before the drop, it can make a huge difference. Another good tip, group your pad layers if you've built more than one. Inside the group, use EQ8 for cleanup, saturator for a little grit, and utility for level and width. Don't overload the chain. In this style, less is often more. A pad that is dark, controlled, and slightly distant usually works better than a huge pad that tries to fill every inch of the spectrum. And here's a really important habit. Keep muting and unmuting the pad while the drums and bass play. If the track feels worse without the pad, you're probably doing something right. If the track sounds better without it, then the pad is probably too loud, too bright, or too busy. Let's talk about a few common mistakes. The first one is making the pad too bright. Bright pads can clash with hats, rides, and vocals. If that happens, close the filter more, tame the top end, and make the reverb darker. The second mistake is letting the pad carry too much low end. That can wreck the whole mix in seconds. High pass it properly and keep checking against the sub and kick. The third mistake is using too much movement. If the modulation is too strong, the pad stops being a supporting layer and starts becoming a distraction. Keep the modulation subtle and slow. The fourth mistake is overusing reverb. Huge wet reverb can make the tune feel washed out instead of deep. Use it with intent, and automate it where possible. And the fifth mistake is forgetting arrangement. A pad loop that never changes gets stale fast. Even a tiny automation move every 4 or 8 bars can keep the whole thing alive. If you want to push the style further, try using minor 9ths or sus2 chords for tension, resampling the pad to audio and chopping it, layering a very quiet ragga vocal texture, or using light distortion like saturator or dynamic tube to give the pad a more worn underground feel. You can also automate the filter on the reverb return instead of the pad itself, if you want the mix to open up without making the source sound too bright. Here's a simple practice move you can do right now. Set a timer for 15 minutes. Open Ableton at 170 BPM. Load Wavetable or Analog on one MIDI track. Write a 4-bar minor chord loop in D minor or F minor. Add a low-pass filter, then EQ8 and high-pass the pad around 150 to 200 Hz. Add echo and reverb with subtle settings. Automate the filter so the pad opens slightly over the 4 bars. Then add one very quiet ragga-style vocal chop or sampled texture under it. Loop it with a drum break and a simple sub. Finally, mute and unmute the pad until it clearly helps the track instead of cluttering it. To wrap up, the big goal here was to build a dark, movement-rich pad framework for jungle and old-school DNB in Ableton Live 12.